Petersburg. Hello, Tampa Bay. How we doing, beaches? Happy Friday, Radio St. Pete. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. And we are up next. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. Well, we are coming to you live, as we do every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. We have a big show tonight, a really big show. We got a lot to cover. We have a special guest that I will get to very soon.
Momentarily.
But what I want to say is, listen, I would love to be able to say that this is a caller-driven show. Some radio shows say that because they depend, you know, like if you're lacking in content, you know what I mean? You need people to call in, you know, to help move the show along. Well, we're not really a caller-driven show because we don't get that many calls. You know what I mean? I wish we did, but we don't. So what I'm saying to you is that if at any time during this broadcast, if you feel like you need to say anything about what we're talking about, if you just want to say, how you doing, please do so. The number to call is 727-498-0502. If you're shy about talking on the radio, you can always shoot us a tweet at Marco Radio Show 1. We will respond to your calls and your tweets as soon as a call. I mean, right away.
Hopefully. I don't know. if you can find the button.
Right. So anyway, this is kind of a cool evening for us because we've been doing this show for roughly 4 years, okay? And I can honestly say that the only person that I get feedback from about the show on the reg is my dad.
Yes.
And my dad is in the studio this evening. My dad, our special guest this evening, Ron Ginn. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, good.
I just want to know, what's the baseball for?
The baseball, look, if you look around the table,
yeah.
If you look around the studio, I think I might have like OCD or something like that because I like a lot of stuff to look at and I like a lot of stuff to play with.
Oh, okay.
So it just, you know, right. Whatever.
That's ADD, not OCD.
Okay.
If you had OCD, the studio would be blank sterile.
And sterile, right.
Which the studio is definitely not.
No, absolutely not. There's nothing sterile about our life.
This is the ADD den of...
Yeah, there's a lot going on in here.
Yeah, there's always a lot going on in this whole house, really. It's not just the studio. There's a lot going on everywhere here. Anyway, so we like to do a show every Friday, and we have been doing a show every Friday with a few exceptions here and there throughout the last, you know, 4 years or whatever it is. Last week, we didn't do a show because Steph and I became grandparents.
Woohoo!
For the first time, and that's pretty exciting. Dad, you're here in the studio. You are a new great-grandfather.
I know. I mean, that's an experience I'm not sure I was going to have.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You know, I can remember, Dad, when I told you that Steph was pregnant with Ty. And I think you were probably right around 50 years old, and you were like, no way. I'm not old enough to be a grandfather.
I know. And now I feel the same way about being a great grandfather.
Yeah, right. So it's
I was just counting on my fingers about let's see, when Millie is 10 years old. I'll be 86. It's like, right, holy right. mackerel.
Oh, believe me, I will be 55 on my next birthday, and I've already started doing that same math, and it's like, wow.
I know.
You know, and it makes me think, you know what? I kind of got to get my shit together. You know what I mean? I have sort of abandoned any sort of physical fitness kind of stuff. It's like, I don't feel like I'm like really, I'm not overweight, but I'm just not where I was.
Fit.
I'm not fit. And look, if I want to see this whole thing come to fruition, I guess, if I want to see her get married, if I want to see her graduate high school, college, whatever, then I gotta get my act together.
And hopefully you'll be a great grandfather.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if it's in the cards.
It's truly up to you. But I tell you, you are in very good shape. Really. I mean, given the fact that, one of the things that helps you is that you have a physical job.
I do.
And I think that's really an asset. I think it's really good that you do that. I mean, I work with people all day long who sit in a cube and stare at a computer screen.
At the blue screen, right.
At the blue screen. And I'm telling you, that is not healthy. What you're doing is a lot healthier than what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, at least the thing is, I work outside. So
right.
I'm getting fresh air all day.
Yes.
And I try to tell myself, Dad, just like what you're just saying, is that I have sort of a physical job. But if you were to ever to equate my job to like a workout routine, it's not going to do it.
I get that.
It's not going to do it.
Might get some steps.
I think there's a time in your life, and where I work, there's a lot of older people. And, you know, their whole thing is, I'm going to go and I'm going to walk from here to the beach and back.
Right.
And that's their physical fitness.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm not as old as them. I should be doing more at this point than just, you know, because, look, I walk at work. I do, you know, I do some light lifting, but there's no repetition to it, really, you know. So I don't know that without any repetition that you're doing your body any good.
One thing I would suggest, and I have to tell you, I don't know if you have this app on your phone, health app with the heart on it.
See, now you're scaring me, because anytime we start talking about phones and technology, then I sort of like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You see that icon with the heart?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as long as I have my phone with me, I could even have it in my backpack.
Yeah.
It's tracking how far I've walked, how many
so
steps
like a,
I've done.
It's like a Fitbit.
It's probably the same thing. So how many miles have I walked today?
Today,
3.6 miles.
3.6 miles.
So you could do that. What I'm saying is you could have this app and give yourself feedback, which would be really...
Give yourself credit for what you are actually doing.
You know what's so funny about that is that where I work, I do like a maintenance kind of job, but they've given me a golf cart, right?
Well, that's great, because you need it for getting around the property.
Right, but I also said to them several years ago when we were thinking about upgrading the golf carts, I said, you know what? Maybe what I really need... is just one of those three-wheeled bicycles, those adult tricycles with the basket in the back, you know? That way I'm pedaling all day, and I'm not using the golf cart.
Now, I'll tell you something interesting.
Yeah.
When I went with my friend John to get his car washed, we're at an intersection, and we're waiting for an opportunity to get out into traffic.
Right.
And over on the right is this fella on a bicycle with three... You remember what the old newspaper...
Yeah.
What do you call them? Those canvas...
The canvas.
Bags.
Yeah, yeah. I had one. Right.
Okay. He had three of them on the attached to the...
three on the front? He's asking for a spinal cord injury.
No, but here's the deal.
Because you're going to flip over.
He was a postman. He had his uniform on. Mm. He was delivering mail in downtown St. Pete.
Okay.
How about that? Isn't that pretty cool?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I can remember, I think I had my first paper route when I was like 10. And they gave me one of those big canvas bags to carry. I think it was the Washington Star. Remember the Washington Star?
Yeah.
And I had to do it in the morning. And then they also had an evening edition. So I had to do it twice a day. And I can remember that my little ass at 10 was so light in the pants that when I loaded my bag up full of papers, that I had a real hard time keeping the back tire on the ground on my bike. You know what I mean? So anyway.
No, but it's a way healthier way to live.
Well, there's a lot of think about all of like the European countries and things like that that rely mostly on bicycles.
Well, one example of that, there's a picture that you can find it on the internet.
Right.
It's at one of the train stations in Amsterdam.
Okay.
And they have hundreds and hundreds of bikes.
Right.
That are parked unattended.
Yeah.
At this train station where people have rode in on their bikes.
Mm-hmm.
They've ridden in on their bikes. And they've parked their bikes and they've gotten on the rail line and gone to work.
Tram or whatever it is, right?
It is amazing to see how many bikes there are.
Well, one of the things that I've also heard about Amsterdam is that nobody really owns a bike. So it's like if you come out of a restaurant and there's a bike there, well, you just take that bike.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean?
It's like bike sharing.
Yeah, there's so many bikes that, I mean, if you come out and it's like, oh, shit, my bike's gone. Well, I'll just take this one.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I do. I think
I mean, cities like St. Petersburg and Tampa are trying to get on with the bike sharing kind of thing.
Yes.
So now you've started to see like these bike sort of bike racks.
Yes.
Full of, you know, color-coded bikes.
Yeah, blue bikes.
But in those things, you can actually, if you take a bike, you can leave it somewhere else.
Correct.
You don't have to return it.
Exactly.
So that's kind of cool. And then also, they're doing the scooters.
Oh, they're doing
these
scooters.
These little scooters. Not like moped scooters, but like these, like, do you know what like a Razor scooter looks like?
No.
It's almost like a skateboard with
a post.
With a post with the handles on it.
Okay.
But I think.
It's like a motorized old scooter.
Yeah, and they're like electric.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, right. Yeah. And to me,
of course, you're not going to get a lot of exercise that way.
Well, you're not going to get any exercise, but here's the thing: to me,
but that's a great way to get around if you're close in to, with your needs to get around.
But those almost seem like such a liability. I don't know if you've ever ridden one of those old time scooters like that. That was not much more than a skateboard.
Right.
You hit a rock and you're on your face.
Well, I hadn't thought about that.
You know, so I was kind of surprised when I saw that these cities are going to these scooters, and it's not just here in St. Petersburg. I mean, California, it's huge. It's so big in California that people are complaining because now there's scooters that people are leaving all over town. It's like they're junking up the place.
Right, right.
You know?
Very interesting.
Anyway,
but their carbon emissions are lower.
Yeah,
and you can actually see LA from a satellite view.
I don't know that there's any such thing as lower carbon emissions in California. I think that's just, they're stuck with it.
They got stuck with so many smog.
Cars, so much traffic.
Yeah, but they have different carbon emission standards. So even though they have more vehicles, they actually have very strict standards on what those cars have to be fitted with.
Yeah, but if you look at a picture of like what the smog looks like in California over like Los Angeles, it doesn't look like that anywhere else. Well, really.
But it's way better than it looked.
Yeah,
10 years ago, 20, 30 years ago.
Stephanie, I was just going to say the same thing. You should have seen it before. I mean, it was really bad. It has gotten better. Yeah.
I mean, it's always looked like, I mean, I can remember seeing pictures of the smog cloud when I was a kid, and it just looked like this big brown cloud.
Yeah,
right.
Brown.
Yeah. And that was 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right. So things have gotten better.
Right. So anyway, here I mentioned earlier that we didn't do a show last week, and it's because Steph and I became grandparents, and I just want to sort of introduce you to our newest member of the family, and that's our little sweet Millie. She was born last Thursday, so she is now a week and a day old. She was born on the 25th at 5:09 in the evening. She was 6 pounds, 9 ounces, and a whopping 19 inches long. And she doesn't do a whole lot. She's a sleeper, but she's just as sweet as she can be. She's cute. She's pretty.
She's very beautiful.
Yep. And hopefully.
And we're a little biased, right. But That's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, well, we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So what's the protocol? Steph, you remember when we were in the Marine Corps and our son, Ty Ginn, started to have his issues with his heart and stuff like that. The Marine Corps family sort of decided that because we were going, you know, to the hospital and dealing with Ty's situation, that kind of thing, that they were going to start delivering meals and things like that to the house. You know what I mean? I don't remember anybody saying that they were going to come to our house and you know, clean the house or do our chores or anything like that.
No, but right? we did get some care packages of...
But it was nice. How cool was it when I would be at the hospital with you and Ty all day, I'd go back and there'd be
dinner for
you. Yeah, right. And, you know, it was very cool. And that's, you know, that's family, but that's sort of like a close-knit kind of military, I
Absolutely.
Guess, deal, that kind of thing. There's this article that I guess you sent me, and it's about this couple that was getting ready to have their first baby. And I guess there's a website called Meal Train.
Meal Train?
Meal Train. And it's like a giving website. Okay, so this young couple that was getting ready to have their first baby, they go on this website and they decide that they're going to ask that when the baby's born, because they're going to be in the hospital, that friends, neighbors, and family provide meals. Okay, and not only provide meals, but and meals to their specifics. Oh, this is what we eat. This is what we need to have. It has to be this. I mean, not only
you can't just drop off a mac and cheese.
Right. So specific that, okay, we really like these breakfast sandwiches, but we really like the ones that have the egg, cheese, and mushrooms on it. You
and
know what
I
mean?
The right. egg white it, that right. isn't fried. It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's
and then they also went so far as to say that, okay, well, here's the thing. Once we come home and you're still providing the meals for us, if we decide that we don't want you to come by the house, we're going to leave a big cooler out by the fence and you can just don't come in. But
don't knock.
Right. Just put the meal in this big cooler. But then there might also be a time where it's like, you know what? We don't need a meal right now, but if you wouldn't mind coming in and doing our laundry and stuff. Stuff like that.
No, no, you're actually.
I'm not kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Here's the article right here.
I'm not kidding.
It's unbelievable. It's like, who are these people? You know, why do you think? I mean, how self entitled do you have to be? Where I mean, this isn't just going to their family members. This isn't a young couple saying this to their parents. They sent this out to this website, this meal train, to the community. You know,
my thought on that is, I guess if you want to ask for anything, maybe somebody is willing to provide it.
There probably are people that are willing to provide it, but I mean,
but who are those? One, who are those people, and why would you let them in your house?
I mean, look, it's natural. It's natural for a family.
If the creepy guy down the street,
right,
that you know has always been the creepy guy down the street.
Yeah. Do you really want he's going to bring it to your door?
No, no. He's going to show up and want to do your laundry. Mm-hmm. No, right. I don't want creepy guy down the street near my laundry.
Or it may be just a total stranger who says, you know what? I saw this on your and I thought I'd come over and do your laundry for you. Really?
And you're going to let them in the house?
This talks about running errands and things like that. You know, can you cut my grass? The whole reason that this guy posted this thing is because he was so afraid that he would be so inundated with his normal chores that he wouldn't be able to spend the proper time he needed with his wife and his newborn child.
Well, you know, that sort of two things I want to say. Yeah. One, on the food side, I'm not so sure I'd be trusting what people are making for me. That's number one.
You're going to put that out there?
Yeah.
You know.
On the other hand, this culture of ours today, there's very little community.
Right.
If you go to other countries, what that is showing up as on Facebook or whatever site it's showing up on,
Yeah.
In other countries, that's already being provided by the community where people live.
Where there are people that you know.
Sort of like takes a village raise a child.
That's the difference.
Because but you these don't are people put it on the internet.
No, absolutely not.
Hi, yeah. I'm creepy guy. Yeah. I want to do your laundry. I don't know.
Or I may lace your food with LSD.
Well, and there were so steal many, your baby.
There were so many people that saw this post and just lambasted this couple for, you know, even considering asking for all this stuff from just complete strangers, you know. So the guy comes back on and he posts, look, I apologize for my post. You know, I had no idea that this was going to be such an issue. Da, 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 da. Oh, look at the world we live in.
You people don't want to help us.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
These are the things we really need. Yeah. We don't need another onesie, but if you'd come cut my grass.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
It's just kind of weird. I just don't even, I can't even imagine. I mean, because I feel like we're semi-private. We don't know any of our neighbors. You know what I mean?
I mean, we know.
I can't even imagine asking my neighbor, look, man, Steph's going to have a baby, and I'm going to be sort of out of it. Can you just, you know, cook
cut
some food
lawn.
For us?
Well, you know why your neighbors are not interested in getting to know you.
Why?
Well, because you've had neighbors you've been friendly with, and they've all gotten divorced and moved away.
We've had those, yeah.
We've had those.
So they're saying, we're not getting near those folks.
Yeah.
No, but I recognize our neighbors, and I wave. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't depend on them
for
my survival, nor do I want them to depend on me
for theirs.
But then
to even go past that, past your neighbors, past your family, and just post this to total strangers.
Yeah, you know, that's unbelievable. Now, if Hannah called right now and said, hey, Dad, do you think you could come over tomorrow and mow the lawn?
Yeah.
Your answer would be yes.
Right. Yeah, I'd do it.
You know, but you don't, you know, I mean, that's kind of a personal
thing.
It's
just weird.
Or if she called me and said, hey, Mom.
I was almost wishing that it turned out to be fake news. You know?
Was it fake news?
No, it wasn't. But I almost was wishing that at the end it was like, oh, it was just a joke. We were just kidding. We weren't really asking total strangers to feed us and do our chores.
So was this something you read but you didn't actually find on the internet?
No, I found it on the internet.
She gave
okay,
it to
so
me.
Okay, so the thing to do would be to monitor that and see where that goes.
Right.
You see, and see where that ends up.
Right.
You know, I mean, just to me, the whole safety issue of it, you're going to ask for food?
Yeah, right.
I don't think so.
Unless they're sending me.
And I don't want anybody in my house.
I don't want
you doing my laundry. I don't want you doing my grocery shopping.
I don't want you sniffing my undies.
Right.
And are you actually going to, is all my laundry still going to be there?
Yeah, it's
just
weird.
People are creepy.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're asking for strangers to do it, you get what you ask for.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's the way I see it.
And here you are with
a brand new baby.
I mean, you just open yourself up to whatever.
And speaking of that, the whole birth experience and being at the hospital was like a prison. I mean, you couldn't get in, you couldn't get out.
And one of the things I want to say about the whole hospital thing.
You get home and you're going to have weird guy down the street come into your house and do the laundry.
The whole hospital thing down there at All Children's Hospital, I mean, look, there was a very special occasion that I will never forget, and it was something that was magical and just one of the more beautiful things I've ever seen, and that was the natural birth of Millie. But there were so many people that we ran into that worked for the hospital that were just rude.
Yeah.
Rude and seemed angry and not helpful, you know, and it's, I don't know, that bothered me.
I probably have to take that on a hospital by hospital basis.
Yeah.
And I don't know what those people have to put up with at that particular hospital, but sometimes it's a factor of they're not appreciated, mm-hmm. so they're not given much.
Right.
Right. You know? I get that. Yeah. And I do try to appreciate people, but there was still a level of.
Yeah, it shouldn't be like that because they're caregivers. Well, they should have a very different attitude.
I almost felt like we were bothering them. You know what I mean?
I understand that, but it's. I mean, you can go down to City Hall and get the same kind of response.
Well, and that's okay. So, what does that mean?
It means that dealing with the public, and sometimes the public is.
Well, dealing with the public sucks for one thing.
Yeah. The public is horrible.
Ask anybody that works in retail, and they'll tell you that like almost homicidal. You know what I mean?
And I, as much as you are upset, I guess, about the negativity,
right?
I kind of appreciated it.
Why?
Because it kept people out. They were actually doing their job.
Well, that's a very good point, Stephanie. I can understand that. It's like, look, we're not here to be nice people. We're here to get the job done and get it done correctly.
Yeah. Exactly. We're not here to be your friend.
Yeah, we're not here
to be happy.
Exactly.
And they don't know you. They don't know me. They don't know what our personal relationship is with, say, our daughter. And, you know, are we those negative parents that as soon as she gives birth, we're trying to take custody?
Right.
And, you know, I mean, they deal with things that we can't even imagine because that's
just
not.
What struck me is that.
That's not what our life is about.
That morning when we showed up and, you know, there was an opportunity to have our car valet parked.
Right.
Okay. Well, we show up, and the valet is supposed to be there 24/7, right? So we show up. There's nobody. We go in just inside the door.
To the security
officer. To the security guard and ask him, so what's the story with the valet guy? Oh, I don't know anything about the valet guy. Is this your first day? You don't know anything about the valet guy? You can't tell me, does he start now? I mean, is he supposed to be here? I mean, is he late? I mean, am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to go now what? And I'm supposed to go park on the street, but you offer 24/7 valet parking. So, and you're going to tell me you don't know anything about the valet parking? You're the security guard.
I mean,
he's 10 feet away from you.
He acted like he didn't even know it existed.
Right.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, which was not appreciated.
Yeah, that was, anyway.
Anyway.
That's
but I get it. People live totally different lives than we do.
Right.
And we have an expectation that people live their lives the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
That they're supporting and loving. And the reason we're here is to celebrate and enjoy. But that is not the case.
I don't want to say it was like having a baby in a prison, but it was, I mean, people just didn't have, they weren't as welcoming as I
had
hoped
liked for
or
them
thought
to
that
be.
They would be. That's all.
And,
but I and get it. If you got to deal with the public, look, dealing with the public sucks.
And it was like having a baby in a prison.
But if that's your job.
Well. I mean, there are ways to handle the public, too. I mean, there's more training that needs to get done with these jobs. The unfortunate thing is that a lot of the people that have these jobs are underpaid and underappreciated.
And overworked.
And overworked. They don't want to hear about it. They'll do the minimum they have to do because they just don't feel like they're getting enough for what they do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're not getting paid enough to care.
Which brings me to just something very quickly. You know, today came out new job numbers, 260,000 jobs the past month. It's being lauded as this amazing thing that hasn't happened since 1969. So we've got all these jobs. And that's what the commentators talk about.
Right. Right.
However, what they don't talk about much is, they're jobs, but they don't pay a lot of money.
They pay nothing.
And people are still struggling.
Yeah.
And the middle class is being gutted. And we have the very rich getting richer. So don't tell me about jobs, because job is not the measure of what's going on out there.
Right.
So don't. I don't even want to hear. I don't even want to hear that about it.
I don't want to hear about jobs. Mm-hmm. I want to hear about livelihood.
Yeah, I want to hear about people making a living wage.
If you're gonna tout that I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna create all these jobs, well, the next sentence needs to be, I'm going to create all these jobs that's going to make people whole again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not just go to a job for whatever the employer's willing to give you in hours. And then, I mean, basically you're going to a job and all you can afford is the gas to get to the job. You're not making enough money to put any in the bank.
Mark. Right. Mark. The eight hours a week you're giving me, which is 2 days, 4 hour shifts, and this job is 20 miles away.
Let me tell you something. Just being here in St. Pete, I can't tell you how many, particularly young women, I've seen walking in their smocks, the blue smocks, like they work at a hospital.
Yeah. The scrubs. Right.
They don't even have cars.
Right.
They're walking. They're taking public transportation.
They can't afford
They can't even afford a car.
It's piss poor.
Yeah.
And for anybody to gloat over all the jobs that I've created, well, you haven't done anything, really.
Right. No.
All you've done, really, is you've put people in positions to make just enough money to get to the position. That's it.
Yeah.
They're not making enough to pay their rent, to pay the light bill, to whatever.
Yeah.
They're not paying it. They're not getting that money. They can't afford a car.
And I'll take it one more step, and then we can change the subject.
All right.
I was reading that one of the indicators of what may be down the road in terms of the economy is not so much jobs. And this was an interesting thing that I didn't know about.
Right.
One of the things that economists look at to predict kind of the future of where the economy is going, whether we're heading into a recession or not, is how many people who own cars are behind on their car payments.
Right.
Because that's a greater indicator of what's going on in the economy than creating jobs.
Yep.
And what they have found that is recently 8 million people are 90 days or more behind on their car payments. That is a huge number, according to economists.
Right.
And it hasn't been that high maybe forever. So this is just what's going on that now that could affect what's happening with the economy down the road.
Yeah. Right.
That's all I can tell you about that.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we have been prattling along for about 32, almost 33 minutes now. We usually take a break every 30 minutes. So if you guys are okay with it, we'll go ahead and take a break. And then when we come back, I want to ask Dad, I want to ask you some questions.
Okay. But before we break, what's the tune we're playing?
Well, Dreams.
Dreams. Okay.
Brandi Carlile, that you turned me on to.
Yeah, she's got a great voice and she's really talented. She does her own songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
She's got two guys who back her up who are identical twins. So if you go on YouTube and look up Brandi Carlile, you'll see these two guys. You can't tell them apart.
She's very good. If you look up anything about her that I did, you're going to find out that this girl has been in the music industry for as young as she is for quite a while.
Right.
And she's worked with some of the best, not only writing songs, but playing, you know, with them.
Yes.
She's pretty good. I dig her. Brandi Carlile, everybody. Listen, we're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. We haven't had any calls, 727-498-0502, or you can always shoot us a tweet at Marco Radio Show 1. Check this out.
So as I come undone in my showing signs.
All right, everybody, we are back, and that is Brandi Carlile with Dreams. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour show. We were playing with our headphones volume during the break, and I turned mine up way too loud. Dad, is your too loud now?
A little bit.
Okay, hold on. Is this you?
We mark them for a reason.
I can't read it from here. Is that you?
Sorry.
Are you sure?
All right. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, wait, I think this one is you.
That's me.
This one's you.
That's good.
Are you off?
I'm off.
Okay. Now, how's that?
Fine.
Okay. Good. All right. We're good.
Perfect.
All right.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. Man, during the first part of the show, we got into all kinds of things. We talked about the birth of our grandchild and our dad's great-grandchild, sweet little Millie. And we talked about, all kinds of stuff. Wanting too much from your neighbors when your baby's born. High expectations, I guess you call that. But anyway, so to move on, Dad, last night you came into town yesterday.
I did.
And we went and had dinner.
Yes.
Over at Foxy's in Treasure Island. And kind of, and you started to ask us if we were Game of Throners, kind of, and if we were into the whole Game of Thrones thing.
Well, actually,
and then I don't know what happened to the conversation because we didn't really have a conversation about it.
Well, actually, I knew that you were just from listening to the broadcast.
Okay,
but I was just wondering how is it going with the last season?
Okay, well, yeah. All right. So you don't watch it?
Well, it's not that I wouldn't watch it.
Right.
It's more that. I know that there's a lot of intrigue,
yeah,
a lot of emotional stuff going on, a lot of stuff you have to guess, and then mm-hmm. you find out you're wrong about.
Right.
And that's very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
I've just never really been into fantasy.
Yeah, well, you know what? When I first heard about it,
yeah.
And we were latecomers, Steph and I were latecomers to the whole Game of Thrones thing. I think it was on, we probably didn't start watching it until they were already 5 seasons in. You know, because, you know, as soon as I heard that it was sort of fantasy based and they had dragons, I was like, I'm not watching that.
Yeah,
well, I'm not watching.
So
that.
What you're telling me is I should go ahead and.
Yeah. Because when we finally started watching it, then, man, I love it.
But you got to tell me what drew you in, because I'm not understanding this.
Well,
I mean, I understand that young people like fantasy.
Yeah.
That's like the go-to thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for an old timer like me, it's like, let's get real here.
I get that. And you know, and that's the whole reason that I was hesitant at first to watch it. But it's done very well. Cinematically, it's phenomenal. The scenery's great. Everything. It just runs very seamlessly. You know what I mean?
And I've read that.
Yeah. The storylines are really good. The characters are good. The characters, you either love them or you hate them. And the ones that you hate, you love to hate them. You know what I mean? So there's nothing about it that I have found that is like, if I miss next week, then, you know, I'll be all right.
Okay.
It's one of those things like, because we came into it so late that we had to binge watch. And have you ever binge watched anything?
A few things. Yeah.
And that's, to me, I almost feel like that's the way to watch something, you know, because I don't like waiting for the next week.
I can appreciate what you're saying, and I have binge watched, but right. I don't do it much because I just can't sit still and watch TV that long.
Right, right.
But I understand that. I mean, mm-hmm. I can see that you get more out of it if you just keep watching.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get that. In fact, some of the things that I really like, I've gone back and watched again because I found that I get more out of it if I watch it again.
Yeah.
So I understand that.
There have been a few things that we've watched, like from Netflix in particular, that like that Making a Murderer. How many times have we watched that?
3 or 4 times.
And it just seems like every time you watch it, because Making a Murderer is about this whole murder trial and things like that. And it's like every time you watch it, it's like, oh, I didn't see that last time.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And yes. Game of Thrones is kind of like that too, because there's so much going on in that show that it's almost like, you know, what happens is there'll be an episode. And then the next day you'll hear what everybody's talking about that episode and you'll be like, wait a minute, I didn't see that. Or I didn't think that. So then it's almost like you want to go back and watch that again
to see if you can get what they were saying.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let me also mention one other thing that I almost find it a little disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Avengers came out, and the first week they made $1.3 billion. It's like,
yeah.
What is that all about?
Yeah, and
I mean, come on.
I don't get that either, because I'm not into that genre.
Okay.
But there are so many people. Now, look, okay, $1.3 billion, first week it came out,
right.
Only about 360 million of that was U.S. So it's not just the U.S., it's the world that loves this
and
genre.
And it's the same thing with Game of Thrones. It's a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to look behind that and see, because a lot of it is driven by younger people.
Yeah.
Am I correct about
that?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay. So I'm trying to look behind that from a psychological perspective. And I'm trying to understand why young, and then there was Black Panther before that.
Right.
And iterations of all these superheroes.
Right.
So my question is, what is it that's going on here in the world, not just in our culture, that has these younger people particularly want to...
They want something better.
Well, they're so enamored with these superheroes.
But why? That's my question.
Because everything is so broken.
Well, but what about this?
I'm thinking that's part of it. Yes.
What
I
about
agree
this?
With you,
and
maybe they have just decided that if things are going to get better, they know that they can't do it, so we need a superhero.
Yeah, like Donald Trump. Okay, we won't get into that.
The big orange.
Okay, but maybe.
It's the last glimpse of hope.
I'm trying to think, when I was a kid, was there really a superhero for me?
And there had to be Superman.
Well, there was Superman. I mean, Superman was the guy.
Forever.
He was the guy. But I never saw him as, like, for real. Yeah, I mean, because he was flying around with a red cape on and tights.
And by day, he worked at the newspaper.
And he worked at the newspaper.
Yeah, right.
Which was pretty cool, actually, that he did that.
So I think that made him real.
It did. And so I don't get that these recent iterations of Superman, there's nothing real that's going on in the background here.
Well, see, this is where we need Ty in here, because he's all into it, and he'd be able to tell us just exactly what the draw is to each one of these characters. Because, you know, to me, if you're the newspaper guy that, you know, you go to your job, you do your newspaper stuff, and then all of a sudden there's a problem, now you're Superman? You know, now you're like a vigilante. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But these people, like all of these people, are almost like gods, I think. Like Thor
stuff
like that.
That's what they are. They're of a different world.
I don't think Thor has a day job. I think he's just
Thor. No, he's Thor. I mean, that's
right. You know what I mean? I mean, Thor's not like cleaning pools during the day, and all of a sudden he gets the call and is like, oh, shit, now I need to be Thor.
And by, yeah. and by the way, yeah. his name isn't really Thor.
Oh, what is
he? He has a lisp. And he says, I'm just sore.
I'm really sore.
I'm really sore.
Right. I like that. So we were talking on the phone about a week ago, and you asked me, and you do this all the time, you asked me if I'm watching anything, you know, what I'm watching on Netflix or whatever, and you said that you were watching this show called Street Food?
Street Food, yes.
Street Food. Now, all right, so my first thought when you said Street Food, I'm like, okay, is it a show about roadkill? is that what Street Food is? I mean, what's Street Food?
Well... Street food is food all over the world that isn't in an establishment.
Okay.
It is food that is served from the street in stands.
Well, I mean, I think you have to be pretty brave to even attempt any of that stuff. I mean,
you mean to do it or to eat it?
Well, to eat it, because I mean, you've seen that what the Anthony Bourdain won, that other guy Zimmer, whatever his name is,
yes.
they eat some of the stuff. It's like, I am not putting a stick in my mouth with a scorpion on the end of it.
Well, I understand. Not doing that. I understand. And some of that is just for...
I'm not eating a grub.
Yes. I mean, yes and no. I mean, when I was in Thailand, yeah. We stopped at a roadside stand where they were marinating or... They had some kind of spicy and oily stuff that these little tiny fish, they were alive.
Like minnows?
Yeah, sort of like minnows.
And they were alive?
And they were alive.
Okay.
And they were not cooked. And the question became for the people in my group who were on the tour was, does anybody want to try to eat some of these fish because they're considered really good here in Thailand?
Right.
I offered to try them.
Yeah.
And they were pretty tasty, and they were alive when I ate them.
Ugh.
So it's a mind thing.
Yeah.
More than anything else. And in other what's interesting is we are so driven by our own culture that we don't even and we're not even in the majority in the world.
No.
So Indonesia, China, these are the places they do it in episodes. So one of the episodes was South Korea. One of the episodes was...
This is all the street food.
All street food. Okay. And there were stories behind it. There were some people where the wife's husband lost his job or he didn't work or he died. And she decided because she had learned how to cook from her mother that she would open up a stand in the marketplace and start serving something her mother taught her to make.
Right.
And she became very successful at it. So it's also a story about how to...
Overcoming
your condition.
Downfalls
by
and
food.
Yeah.
And just going out there and doing it and then becoming to the point where you have the president of a country coming to your stand or ordering, not coming, but ordering and having picked up stuff that you make and taking it back to the palace or wherever that person resides. So it's inspiring, it's interesting, and you get a chance to see cultures.
Well, it's a story of survival.
It's a story of survival.
This is something that I can do.
Yes.
It's not something I necessarily want to do, but to pay my rent.
But what it does is...
I'm going to cook bugs.
But it also is a way that you see where people finally come into themselves and they feel good about themselves. Where before they felt horrible about what was going on with their situation.
Right.
So it's uplifting. It's culturally a really interesting thing to see. Some of it is subtitled because some of the countries, of course, when they're talking to these people, they're speaking in their own language.
That makes sense.
So
right.
I find it interesting. I did binge watch four or five episodes because for me, I have an interest in just.
Sucked you in.
What?
It sucked you in.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And it sucked me in because I like observing other cultures. Now, some people wouldn't be interested in that, but I find it
very interesting. No, I get the draw. I definitely get the draw. It's interesting how different cultures are from us. I mean, we're so I almost feel like we're so Puritan. I mean, if it doesn't pass what is the not the was it the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration?
Well, exactly.
If things aren't tested all the time, you know, you can't eat it. If things don't have an expiration date on it, you know, you don't even go, don't even look at it.
Yeah, that's.
But those things out there, I mean, come on, man, you're cooking all this stuff on the street. How, you know, it just goes to show you that you can survive.
Oh, absolutely.
Eating that kind of thing,
absolutely. And as a matter of fact, if you eat some of that food and your body can acclimate to it, it actually can make your body stronger.
Yeah, your whole immune system. Sure,
yeah, absolutely. I get that.
All right, well, that's kind of cool.
But, I know you got things to talk about, but no, as I was driving over here, I passed by a McDonald's and I had this thought.
Don't do it.
No. My thought was. Right. McDonald's came into being when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. You could get a hamburger, French fry, and a milkshake for 45 cents.
Mm.
They were each 15 cents. And that went on for quite a while. Now, I haven't been to a McDonald's in years.
Right.
But I think the French fries are still supposed to be pretty good.
Here's the thing. I went to a McDonald's. Steph usually makes my lunch, like on a Sunday. She packs me, you know, five lunches, you know, that kind of thing. Because of all the baby stuff and that kind of thing, our schedule got screwed up. So one day last week, I went to McDonald's for the first time in a long time, and my fries were cold, so they sucked. You know, McDonald's fries are some of the best.
Right.
And the burger was so full of salt. It was like all you could taste was the salt. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, okay. So, do we need to wrap it up? Are we there? 2 minutes?
Two.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to take a break. I can't even believe it's the right at the end of our first hour. Dad, I'm telling you, this is the fastest 2 hours you'll ever spend in your life.
It's already happening. I know. And,
yes.
And you know what? I need my time to slow down. I mean, not speed up.
Right. but anyway, when we come back, I do want to ask you some more questions because I find you fascinating.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Yeah.
Anyway, what else? Steph?
Do I hear a cat?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a cat that lives here too.
Really?
This is like a whole menagerie.
Wow. Yeah. We've got all kinds of stuff going on over here.
We got a did big you read ass.
Did you read the article in the week that was last week about cats? They did the study on cats.
Which one?
Where they were wondering why cats don't respond the way dogs do.
Because they're assholes.
Because they don't care what you think.
They don't care what you think. I did read that. Yeah. They don't care what you think.
we don't do that.
Just feed me and touch me when I want you to.
Exactly. They're the supreme manipulators.
Right.
Yes.
Anyway.
Especially that one.
So Dad, yesterday we were talking about what music we were going to play on the show. Got to do it. I'm doing it.
Okay.
All right, everybody. I'm just going to play the song. It's going to be a surprise. It's not the one that you picked.
That's all right.
But it's going to be something that you're going to like. I guarantee it. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com. Call us, man. We're having a good time.
Come on, Paul.
Paul, somebody, just give us a call. This is Lowdown. Eric Clapton.
Oh.
Steve Winwood. Live.
Fantastic.
Lowdown, lowdown, dirty shame.
was Low Down. That's Eric Clapton and Stevie Winwood. That's actually a live performance from Madison Square Garden back in February 2008. So it's not a new one, but I guess they decided.
And that's actually pretty new considering how long they've been around.
Right, exactly. Anyway, listen, we are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. This is the start of our second hour. I can't believe that the first hour went by so fast. That's what happens when you're having fun.
Absolutely.
Haven't had any calls. You can still do that, 727-498-0502, or you can always shoot us a tweet at Marco Radio Show 1. Dad, during the break, you were telling me something about that song and the way that the chords were put together.
Right.
What was it?
Well, when you listen to that song, and if you know anything about Chuck Berry, it's a direct knockoff of Chuck Berry.
Absolutely. And I was listening to a radio show the other day, and they were talking about how Elvis became so popular. And it was only really because he was stealing basically music, and because he was white, and nobody really wanted to appreciate the black artists that were really making the music.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much how Elvis got his thing.
Yeah, but he wasn't stealing from Chuck Berry.
No, well,
he was actually taking more music from the countryside. Although Chuck Berry also had a countryside to him.
Mm.
Not only did he do, he was one of the fathers of rock and roll.
Oh, absolutely. I consider him the father of rock and roll.
Yeah.
I do.
Elvis pulled from the country. He pulled from
and gospel.
And gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right. Anyway, so we were talking about Netflix, and you were talking about this the show Street Food, and then it got me thinking: is there another show? I mean, is there something out there? I mean, what have you binge watched? I mean, were you into Dexter? Were you into Breaking Bad? What was one of the big ones
that I've been watched?
Yeah, I mean, were you a watcher of one of the big ones that's come along in the last, say, 10 years?
Well, because my tastes run differently.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought about watching Dexter because I like that actor
who
was in something prior. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what he was in.
6 Feet Under.
6 Feet Under, which I loved.
Right.
So I thought about not binge watching, but at least trying to watch that and see how that goes. As far as binge watching, the only thing I've binge watched that I can remember lately.
Well, let's not say binge watch where you sat down on a Saturday and watched 5 episodes. Let's just say something that you stuck with,
all right,
well, you know, for the whole series.
It's appealing to me for a variety of reasons. Which we can get into, but was the Magnificent Mrs. Maisel.
You know what? I meant to watch that, and at the time, we weren't equipped to watch it, but I'd like to go back and watch that, because that seems like something I would dig.
It is very well written.
Mm-hmm.
It is well acted.
Right.
It's got its drama. It has its comedic side.
Did you ever watch Mad Men? I mean, is
I
it
love,
because it's
I love
sort
Mad
of
Men.
Like it
I
seems
did,
like
I
it's
did.
Sort of based in the same time period, right?
Well, the one thing that makes it a little different for me is because I'm a Jew. Is that this is about a Jewish woman who wants to become a comedian,
right?
Which is unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a cultural aspect to it that's appealing to me.
Mm-hmm. It was unheard of back then.
Yeah. Now, Joan Rivers is the one who really broke that wide open, being a Jewish woman who made it big time into comedy.
Are you familiar with Sarah Silverman?
Yes.
She's really good, too.
She's good. Yeah. She's good. And there are a number of women who are very well.
Mm-hmm.
Really wonderful comedians. But it also, I have to tell you, one of the things that is so appealing about this show is that it's rolled out in the 1950s.
Oh, okay.
Now, that was when I was a teenager.
Post-war, right?
Post-war, 1950s. I was born in 42. So mm-hmm. what I remember, some of the things, that, and they did it so authentically.
Mm-hmm.
The department stores.
Right.
The switchboards. The cars are authentic.
Yeah.
Every scene is done meticulously.
Mm-hmm.
The Christmas scenes in the department stores,
right.
I don't know that they still do them anymore, but back when I was a kid, when this show is depicting an era of department stores that went out hugely.
Well, they made a big deal of it back then.
Well,
even when I was a kid, they
had animated figures in the store windows for Christmas.
Yeah.
They had the Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. They had the reindeer. They had all of that stuff. It was unbelievable.
Right.
And the department stores in those days, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, so there was Jell-Ofs and there was Garfinkel's. There was the
Garfinkel's,
There was the Hack Company.
Right.
Okay, Woodward and Lothrop. Those were the biggies.
Right.
And when you walked into those stores, it was almost as if, particularly for the upscale ones like Jell-Ofs and Garfinkel's, mm-hmm. it was like you went into a different world.
Right.
They had chandeliers. They had people were, the people that waited on you were so decked out.
Right. All dressed to the nines.
Dressed to the nines. If you wanted to buy a suit or something like that, they measured you, they fitted you, they doted on you. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So that aspect of it was very cool. And this thing is staged in New York City.
Right.
So you get a flavor of New York back in those days, which also included the Garment District.
Right.
Which was an incredible place back in the day. I don't know what it is today because I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was just fascinated by all of that. And so, and each episode is almost like watching a play.
Okay.
So if you've ever seen a play and you have scenes, mm-hmm. it's like you're watching scenes. So it's so well done that it's as if you're watching a play. And it's really fantastic. And it has some really great acting in it. The lady who stars in it, whose name escapes me at the moment, is only 29 years old.
Okay.
She's the one who wants to become a comedian.
Right.
But it's got some seasoned actors in it who are terrific. The guy that played Monk.
Tony Shalhoub.
Tony, he is fantastic.
Yeah, I like him.
He plays her father.
Yeah.
He is just amazing. And Pollock.
Sidney Pollock?
Not Sidney Pollock.
The
other Pollock. I can't think of his first name. But he's also,
I know who you're talking about. I can picture him.
Yeah. Does a great job playing her husband's father.
Okay. Yeah.
Fantastic. So I can just tell you, it's just an incredible
one. We'll have to check it out.
It's won several Emmy Awards. So I recommend it. It's not a fantasy.
No. And that's fine.
Yeah.
What would you say are your top three movies of all time?
That is really a hard one. The one... few that have impacted me along the way have been the one with Anthony Hopkins where he plays
Silence of the
Lambs. That's a great one.
That to me is one of the
Hannibal Lecter.
That to me is a great movie.
Yeah.
De Niro in it's based on a true story. Where he plays like a two-bit gangster, and he gets ratted out when one of the people in the gang.
Not Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, great movie.
That's in my top three.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Goodfellas is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And The Godfather was up there too.
Godfather's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So without. I'm trying to think of different genres of movies, mm-hmm. not just those kinds of movies.
Right. But. If I had to give my top three, I'd say Goodfellas, I'd say Raging Bull, one of my all-time favorites, And then I'd have to say Forrest Gump. It's a great movie. I know that we talked a lot about Forrest Gump, and then when you saw it, you weren't a big fan of it. But, man, I think it's just a great movie.
I'll do this. I will go back and watch it again.
I think probably why I like it so much is that it's a touching story, for one thing. And then you get to see how masterful Tom Hanks is.
Oh, no, Tom Hanks, hands down.
He's got to be probably the best actor of our age.
He can do everything he does is different. He's absolutely, well, talking about different, I heard somebody commenting the other day on Anthony Hopkins. So one day he plays Hannibal Lecter, and the next day he plays somebody totally different, and is so believable. I mean, that's great acting.
Yeah.
That's great acting. Of course, we're talking about male actors. What about female actors?
Mm.
So, I know there are several that I really, really enjoy.
Well, Meryl Streep is
Meryl
good.
Streep is one of them. She is just phenomenal.
What's the Beatty's sister? What's her name?
Shirley MacLaine.
Shirley MacLaine. I think she's great.
She's very,
I like her. She's
excellent.
A great character.
Yeah, Shirley MacLaine is. She's very, very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. But let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So what movie do you remember where you cried?
Forrest Gump.
All of them.
Just about all of them. No, really, I'm an easy crier.
Good. I like that.
Truly, I'm an easy crier.
I like that.
There was a time in my life where I didn't like to admit it, but I've gotten to an age now. I'm almost 55 years old. Yeah, I cry, man.
Yeah. And that's a good thing.
I'm not ashamed of it.
No, don't be. I can be proud of it.
I can, you know, and I was thinking about this the other day. I'm a happy crier. I don't really cry a lot about sad things, but if I see something that is lifting my spirits,
I'm the same
or
way.
If I'm rooting for somebody,
I'm the same
way. I can watch a sporting event, and if I see somebody giving it their all and they win, and I can see the blood, sweat, and tears, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cry, man.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I'm more of like a happy crier about happy
positive things.
Yeah, yeah. Sad things. Look. I can cry about sad things. I can cry about anything, but
even Hallmark ads.
Yeah,
Christmas is a very difficult time.
Yeah, you know, Forrest Gump made me cry. Terms of Endearment made me cry.
Yeah, Terms of Endearment.
Oh my God, I can't even watch that. Yeah. I can't even. I mean, I have to. I can't.
That's a great movie.
I can't sit on the couch and watch that movie.
Yeah.
I have to be standing up because every time I get to that point, I got to leave the room.
All right.
And then come back.
And come back.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. I do. That's a great movie, by the way. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Steel Magnolias as well.
Yeah.
He can't watch Steel Magnolias.
Oh yeah,
both
of those. Both of those are just unbelievable. So here's the thing, Dad. We are now here in Florida. It's pretty much been summer for the last month or two. Florida gets summertime a lot quicker than most states. But now the shorts that you wear, would you consider them short shorts? Because I know that there was a time, well, we all back in the day
wore shorter shorts.
Shorter shorts.
Right.
Well, I saw this thing on Yahoo that short shorts are coming back.
I don't doubt it.
For men.
And
I don't doubt that.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I've actually thought about that. As a matter of fact, I was looking at an REI catalog online.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm a member.
Yeah.
And cargo shorts have an inseam of 13 inches.
Okay.
And shorter shorts for men have an inseam of 11 or less.
Okay.
And they're selling both.
Right.
See, it used to be just the cargo shorts because those are the longer ones that go down to the knees.
Mm-hmm.
But now it looks like some shorter shorts are coming back.
They're coming back. And as a matter of fact, there are some of the big hitters in the fashion industry like Fendi and Prada and Missoni. They're all coming out in the spring 2019. I guess they're spring lines. They're coming out with these shorter shorts. But what's amazing to me, it's almost like, okay, if you are get on the short bandwagon, and if you want to go with one of these name brands, you're looking at paying almost $1,000 for a pair of short shorts. And it's like, are you kidding me? I'm not paying anywhere near that.
Well, here's my thought on that.
Right.
And that is, first of all, it's based on marketing of the name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those shorts are probably made in Indonesia
sure.
or China.
Right.
And they're probably not of the greatest quality, because I've got to tell you, I've bought Ralph Lauren stuff
yeah.
that was pure garbage.
Right.
And I have written to them and told them that. You know, I never get a reply, of course.
Is that because all of these designers and just about, you know, I mean, a lot of American industry is being sent overseas so they can do it for next to nothing?
No, I think it's because...
So the quality goes down?
I actually think it's because Americans don't demand it.
Mm.
I think they don't, they're not as discriminating as maybe even Europeans. I don't know.
Well, that's one of the things I've always appreciated about you, Dad, because if it's not to your standards, you'll send a letter, man.
I will. I do. I do.
I like that.
Yeah.
There's
I mean,
not
even
many
if
people
I don't
like
get
that.
Even if I don't get a reply, at least I'm getting it off my chest. It's like, you're not pulling this crap over on me.
Yeah, I'm at least going to tell you.
I'm going to tell you
that
your crap.
About it.
Yeah, your stuff is crap.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I do. I will.
I don't really have the balls to do that. I mean, the only time I ever act in any aggressive manner is if somebody like disrespects me to my face, that kind of thing. But if I get in a situation where I buy a garment or something like that, and I don't think it's if I feel like I've paid too much for the quality, I'm not sending a letter.
Yeah, most people wouldn't do that, but
right.
You know, I'm different that way. But getting back to the because I'm glad you brought this up.
Mm.
It's interesting because I have saved some of my shorter shorts, and I'm going to be able to wear them again.
Well, what were the shorter shorts from back in the day? OP, right? Everybody had those short corduroy OP shorts.
No, that's too short.
But I have a feeling that these shorter shorts are coming back like that.
Actually, I have a couple of pair of those corduroy OPs.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, most people don't even know what OP means, but it stands for Ocean Pacific.
Yeah, those shorts were fantastic back in the day. Everybody had to have them.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Right. Back when they were good quality.
Yes.
They were made of good fabric.
Exactly. I mean, they weren't just corduroy, but they were like the thick ribbed corduroy.
Right. Even now.
Yeah.
You buy a T-shirt.
Mm. Oh, it's paper
so
thin.
It's paper thin.
Yeah.
And not only that, some of them. Now, I remember when beefy tees were, I thought, hey, this is a pretty darn good T-shirt.
I like beefy tees.
Yeah.
Right.
But they keep their shape.
Yeah.
At least they used to. I don't know. I haven't bought one in a while, but they keep their shape.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know sometimes when you wash a T-shirt, it starts to go cattywampus,
mm-hmm.
where
when
you lay it down to fold it, if you're going to fold it, it doesn't lay flat.
Well, see, I don't fold anything. I hang everything.
Okay. But if you fold, because I fold,
mm-hmm.
it's like, this thing is not right. There's a term for it. It's the bias is not correct.
Okay.
And that's what it is. And I don't know much about that kind of stuff, but it's like they didn't care.
They don't care. They don't give a shit. They just want their money.
Exactly.
You know, it's ridiculous now. If you go out and buy a T-shirt, it's almost as if you're going to buy a good T-shirt, you have to buy a good T-shirt from somebody who's new in the game. And they're like selling you something that they bought back in the day, one of those thick T-shirts. Because anybody else that's mass-producing T-shirts, they're all like paper thin.
I actually bought some. And there is a brand called Randall.
I know what you're talking about.
They make quality T-shirts. I buy them.
Yeah.
They keep their shape. What's the name of it?
I want to say it's
It's not
Gildan. Randall.
No.
Gildan's a good brand, too.
Okay, I don't know. Oh, Gildan?
Yeah.
G-I-L-D-A-N?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard, that's a good brand.
They're pretty good.
But I'm thinking of a different brand, which doesn't come to me right at the moment. But they make good stuff, too. So I think you got to go with, it's hard to say. Because I've bought.
Where are you from?
I've bought.
You're college educated. What the hell happened?
I know, exactly. Jeez.
Hold on.
The millennials have gotten to you.
Right.
He said bought.
By the way, speaking of that, and I don't want to get off the subject of clothes, but I can't tell you how many millennials don't know what a past participle is. Okay, so a past participle, the way I remember it is, if you're going to use the word have, you got to use, it's like go. Go, went, gone.
Right, okay.
You don't say, I have go. I have gone. I have went.
I have went, right.
And people say that.
Yeah.
You don't say that. And I actually hear commentators on television use the wrong tense. It's not a tense.
Well, they'll just have anybody be a commentator these days. You don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, especially on internet radio. Right? Yeah. I mean, look at us.
Yeah.
Here we are, bought and clothes. And...
Yeah, but the clothes thing is very interesting to me to see the how it's evolved.
Yeah.
And how...
The quality has diminished.
And the quality has diminished.
Even even jeans aren't the same anymore.
Yeah.
Remember when you used to buy a pair of Levi's? They were stiff as a board.
And you had to wash them for many times before they would soften up.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's very interesting because I bought a pair of Levi's at it was probably at an outlet store.
Mm-hmm.
But they were horrible.
Yeah.
And I still have my old ones. Well, and my old ones wear like iron. They start to fade and they start to fray down on the bottom, but they wear like iron. And this other pair I have, they've lost their shape. They're terrible.
Now it's almost Levi's. Like they're kind of stretchy. It's like, what is this material?
Well, I think they have seen the horror of their ways, and I think they're starting to improve that with Levi's. I don't know for sure, but I think I've seen better quality Levi's of late.
I think a lot of companies need to go back to their base.
Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean?
Start bringing the companies back home.
Yeah.
Let's hire more.
I agree. I think
hire more people.
They need to bring some of that stuff back to America.
Absolutely.
And let it be American made. And I think that to me is very important.
Yeah, you would almost think that, okay, if I'm going to save the money and have it produced for a lot less, then
no, I look at it differently.
I would have better quality, but
no, forget it. The producers are going to do whatever they can do to make more money. I think Americans need to be more conscious of the crap that's out there that they're buying, that if they would pay a little bit more, they would get something that would last longer.
Right.
Well, yeah, but I mean, now it becomes a thing where now you have to spend more.
That's true. And
now you have to spend more. Back in the day, you didn't have to spend that much more money to get something that was going to last you.
Correct. But now...
That cheaper option didn't exist. Yeah.
So now people... You know what I would... You know what I'd rather see people do? Go to the secondhand store.
Yeah.
Buy that stuff. That stuff is a better quality. If some of it's old, but it's in good condition.
And a lot of it, a lot of it is.
And I have bought some of that stuff, and it's actually really great.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, if you go to a secondhand store and you see stuff hanging up and it's been worn, you can tell which of the brands actually have made good quality stuff and those that haven't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can see that difference in those secondhand stores.
Right.
But the brands have evolved over the years.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you can't buy brand.
No, you cannot.
Because their quality has gone down over the years.
Right.
If it's a newer garment, it's not nearly what it used to be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that t-shirt I'm thinking of is Rydell.
Oh, Rydell is definitely good.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. And one of the places that I know that you can get it still is at the Sam's Club.
You can get Rydell?
Yeah. Because when we still kept our membership relevant, we used to go, and I would get the long sleeve t-shirts.
Now, I have some of those Rydell.
Those are great, man. I still have some that are almost 10 years old.
Yeah, and they just keep their shape.
Yeah.
They're wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those are great. That's good quality. Yeah. Rydell.
Rydell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they're a big sports. Uh-oh. Who the heck is this?
Somebody from Rydell.
Sponsorship.
Hello, caller. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. Who are we speaking to?
Hello, this is Marco.
Yes, this is Marco.
Oh, this is Don Corleone.
Don Corleone?
Yeah.
How's that even possible?
Calling to wish you congratulations.
Yeah.
On the birth of your granddaughter. I heard all about it.
If you're offering me congratulations, does that mean you're going to need me to do a favor for you later in life?
Maybe. I'll let you know about that. Yeah. Right now, I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
That you got a granddaughter, you and your wife.
Yeah.
So wonderful.
It is wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I called when she got married, your daughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. And I'm still waiting for that call for the favor.
Well, don't worry about the favor.
All right.
Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are nice things. I'm calling to wish you congratulations. I'm not asking you to do something crazy for me.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, he hasn't given you the check yet.
Mm-mm. No. So, hey, listen. Okay. So, I mean, Don Corleone, what exactly would you be doing on a Friday evening at about 7:30? I mean, I can only imagine that you're at a table with a big like bowl of pasta and maybe some bread and some dipping sauce or something like that. I mean, what are you doing?
Well, I already ate that. I'm going to bed early tonight.
Okay.
Because I got a big day tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to get some sleep.
Oh, are you? What are you doing? You're betting on the Kentucky Derby?
Well, that too. I can't let you know everything I'm doing. You know, I'm trying to be, low-key here. You know?
You're not going to leave any horse heads in anybody's bed or anything like that?
Nah, you watch too much TV. I told you that before.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, I heard through the grapevine that you named your daughter like a Jewish name, Millie.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's a good.
Is that all right?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Because then you covered all the bases, you know.
All right. Well, I didn't realize we were doing all that. But look, if you're going to give me that endorsement, I guess that's cool.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, to everybody, I wish congratulations and Godspeed and God health, good health, everybody, okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. I'll talk to you another time.
All right, Don. Thank you. Well, there you go.
Donya, you couldn't ask for a better endorsement.
And you're not in trouble until the check arrives. Right. You know, when the dude shows up at the front door with the envelope of cash.
Right.
When you take that,
I need you to do me a favor.
Right. That's when you need to be concerned.
Mm-hmm. So, Dad, you're here in town this weekend, and you got your buddy John here that you're going to be hanging out with over the weekend. Do you have any plans at all on watching the Kentucky Derby?
Actually, I'd like to see it. I like the Kentucky Derby.
Well, it's the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby, and it I guess it's going to be...
What time does it go off?
About, I guess post time is about 6:50 tomorrow on, what did we say, NBC?
NBC.
NBC.
Okay. Yeah, I'll probably be watching it.
It's kind of there's always kind of intrigue that builds up to race day, and the favorite, which was Omaha Beach...
Was scrapped? Or
yeah, he was scrapped. Apparently, they took him out for a run a day or two ago, and he had some breathing issues, and it looks like he's going to need some sort of surgery. So the next favorite in line is this horse named Game Winner, and it's one of Bob Baffert's horses.
Who's Bob Baffert? He's one of the best
trainers in the history. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if Bob Baffert and his horse win this Derby, he will be tied for the most victories as a trainer.
No kidding.
With 6. So can you imagine?
Can you name some of the horses that he trained?
No.
Okay.
I should have done that, but I was writing this all down at the very last minute, and I meant to have a lot more information about it.
See, back when I was more interested in that, and I don't know why I got away from it, just so many other things going on, I guess. Mm-hmm. Man of War.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember Man of War.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember some of those horses that were legends.
Oh, well, the one.
Secretariat.
Secretariat, yes.
The one that will always stick with me, because we always do a little derby party here at the house and pick names and whatever, was Giacomo.
Giacomo, yes.
And I had picked Giacomo out of the hat that year, 50-1.
Wow.
And he won.
Wow.
So Giacomo will always be my favorite Kentucky Derby horse.
What was the one that won the Triple Crown? Now, last year, the horse that won won the Triple Crown last year, but the one that before that that hadn't won, there hadn't been a Triple Crown winner in like 20 years.
Yes.
It was American Hero or American, what was it? American, I got it up there, but I can't read it from here. American something. But yeah, so now all of a sudden, the horse that won the Triple Crown last year, you can't even think of his name.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know what that means exactly.
I think it's probably quite a feat for a horse to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's fun. But it's also like who won the Super Bowl?
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
Who won what's the big Wimbledon last year?
Right.
Men's and women.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're in it in the moment.
In the moment.
Do you suppose that those people participating in those events
know that nobody cares?
Well, do you think
do you think
that they really care if people remember them? Because I mean, nowadays they're all making so much money. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
just
like,
show me the
money. I
don't
give a shit if you remember my name, you know, 6 months from now. I just made $1 billion.
Yeah, I don't think they care about that.
Yeah. I think it used to mean a lot more.
I agree.
Back in the day. I mean, if you look at like even sports teams, you know, players used to stick with a team for their entire career. And now, you know, players sort of go from team to team looking for that big paycheck, you know?
Well,
but how much of that is the player and how much of it is the team?
Or how much of it is the public? I mean, they're ready to move on to something else anyway.
Well,
if you're
highly touted, if you're like a high draft pick, that kind of thing, and if the public knows that you come right out of college and you're getting all of a sudden a $50 million contract, you haven't played a down in the NFL, that kind of thing. How patient are these people going to be if you come out your first season and shit the bed? You know, you gotta come out playing.
I don't think they really care.
I don't think they care. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't think they care.
I think there's probably still some diehard fans that do care, but I think for the most part, I think a lot of
the way to look at it is the way you look at these heroes in the movies that we're talking about.
Yeah.
How many of them are really considered heroes anymore? Back in the day.
Yeah.
There were some real sports heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who those folks are.
Yeah, today. But were they considered sports heroes back in the day just because there wasn't really
There was too much.
There wasn't anything else.
There were three channels.
That's part of it.
Are people nowadays too preoccupied?
This is one of the things that drives these athletes to say, you know what? I don't care about the notoriety. Just give me the money, because I know in a couple of years people aren't even going to care who I am.
Right.
Yeah. So I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just too much going on, too much noise out there.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. I mean, do you know there was a time? 1961, I can almost see it.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a kitchen with a fellow I was going to school with, a good friend of mine, Pepe Soria.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Pepe?
Yeah, sure.
We were listening on the radio
mm-hmm.
to the championship fight. I'm trying to remember who it was now.
Sonny Liston.
Well, it was the white Ingemar Johansson, and who did he fight?
Mm.
I mean, this was like the fight of the century.
Right.
And everybody was glued to the radio.
Probably Joe Louis. Was it Joe Louis?
No, it was after
That's
Joe
too early.
Louis. That was too early.
Yeah.
So I don't remember who the other guy was, but I do remember that. I don't remember the other guy right at the
Jack
moment.
Dempsey?
No.
No, that's even
But we
too,
can look it up after the show.
Too early.
But in those days, that was big stuff.
Well,
and these days, you can go to ESPN, you can watch this, you can watch that, you can. It's all just a big, big muddle.
Okay. So here's sort of a similar situation. Okay. So I read in the paper, I think it was last week, and I was going to talk about it on last week's show if we had done a show, but somebody found a Babe Ruth rookie jersey.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And it was just one of his jerseys. It wasn't the jersey, but it was just one of his jerseys from like his rookie year. They're auctioning it off for $4.5 million.
I know.
Who's okay. going to be? Who's
I mean, I don't be, know, but I mean,
who's
I
a,
can.
Who's a today's player? Who's a today's player? I mean, 50 years from now, is anybody going to offer $4.5 million for a Reggie Jackson jersey?
Maybe.
I mean, I don't think so.
Well, maybe not.
Because people know. Held, those people were heroes back then. You know yeah. what I mean?
Now, it was, now that we're on that topic and the fact that it's so recent in time that Tiger Wood won the...
I love that.
Okay. That's a great human interest story.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a great human interest story.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And there were so many people that were emotional about it.
Sure.
Because he did a he made this amazing comeback emotionally, yeah. physically, yeah. everything.
Yeah.
And that's a great story.
Yeah.
But there aren't many like that.
No. And now he's somebody 50 years down the line. Somebody finds a Tiger Woods golf club in their attic.
Yeah, now that would probably bring some money.
Yeah, right. You know.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Anyway, that's kind of
what about a Ben Hogan golf club?
You would like to think that, you know, I mean, Ben Hogan and
I would think
Ben Hogan, Sam Snead,
you know,
all those old timers.
Yeah, it would bring
you
some
know,
money.
You would have to think so.
Yeah,
you know, what was that that female? Babe?
Babe Saharius. Saharius?
The one that played, I think
golf.
She played golf and I think she played tennis too. Didn't she play both?
I think she did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have to think that that would bring some money.
Right.
Anyway. So we should take a break.
Oh, okay.
All right, everybody. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com.
What's the music?
Well, I think you might like it. It's old school.
Okay.
It's the Cornelius Brothers.
Oh, Cornelius Brothers. I like Cornelius Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Hope you like this one.
All right.
Treat her like a lady.
Yeah, it's a good song.
We'll be right back.